Hello, and you're very welcome to another edition of The Others, the Alan Kinsella podcast, where we look at small parties, groups and independents that have contested Irish elections over the years. This week, I'm going to look at the September 1927 campaign of Patrick Belton, who ran as an independent. He had been elected in June 1927 as a Fianna Fáil TD, but was expelled from the party because he took his seat in the Dáil. He was later a member of Cumann na Gael, one of the few people to be Fianna Fáil and Cumann na Gael, and of course Fine Gael as well, and was the kind of founder of the Belton, or one of the founders of the Belton political dynasty. Thanks to everybody who subscribed to the podcast, and thanks for listening especially too. If you haven't done so, please subscribe. And thanks especially to those who support the Patreon. It's patreon.com/electionlit. And supports both the website and the podcast. If you want to contact me, I'm at electionlit on Twitter, Irish Political Ephemera on Facebook, irishelectionliterature.com, irishelectionliterature@gmail.com is the email. Thanks very much. Patrick Belton was quite an interesting character. He was from Longford and entered the civil service in London. And he became very friendly with Arthur Griffith and Michael Collins. In 1905, he was present at the establishment of Sinn Féin in London. And in 1909... initiated Michael Collins, supposedly. And in 1909, he supposedly initiated Michael Collins into the IRB. He became secretary of the London County Board of the GAA as well. And in 1910, he was transferred to the Irish Land Commission in Dublin. He took part in the 1916 Rising. And after the Rising, he was suspended from the Land Commission on suspicion of having been connected with the event, but was later reinstated. In 1918, his house was raided and a couple of revolvers and 50 rounds of ammunition was discovered in the house. And he was sentenced to 6 months imprisonment and hard labour for possessing arms and ammunition. And he served in his sentence in Mountjoy and Belfast jails. Now, he doesn't seem to have been active in the Civil War on either side. In the 1922 general election, he stood as an independent farmer in Longford Westmeath, polling 2,258 votes, didn't get elected. In 1923 general election, he stood in Leash Offaly for the National Democratic Party. A short-lived party that fielded four candidates in that election, but it didn't have much success. I'm sure I'll cover them again at a later date. He stood in the 1926 Dublin County by-election and failed to win there. However, he joined Fianna Fáil, and in June 1927 he was elected as a TD in Dublin County for Fianna Fáil. And I suppose a few weeks later, he was in the news a lot. It is said that a crisis is pending in Fianna Fáil over the rumours of the intention of Mr. Patrick Belton TD to take his seat in the Dáil. Mr. Belton, who previously stood as an independent candidate, joined the ranks of Fianna Fáil just before the general election and received a huge vote in the County Dublin. I am told that Mr. Belton disagrees with his party over the question of the oath, but he has stated he will not break the pledge he gave. If he decides to enter the Dáil, he will probably resign his seat and fight it again on a policy of going in and taking the oath under protest. At Fianna Fáil headquarters, I was told that there was information to be given on the subject, that there was no information to be given on the subject, it is pretty well known that Mr. Belton is dissatisfied with Mr. De Valera's present policy and that he may take his own line within the next few weeks. Contrary to general belief, however, Mr. Belton is alone in advocating this policy. So obviously he's trying to get a few other people to, a few other Fianna Fáil TDs to go to the Dáil with him, but seems to be alone in that. And he did take his seat. Mr. P. Belton takes seat in Dáil, Fianna Fáil TD. He occupied a seat on the extreme right of the Ceann Comhairle. He was introduced to the Ceann Comhairle by Colonel B. Brennan, superintendent of the Dáil. A convention of County Dublin electors who supported the Fianna Fáil candidates at the recent election was held at 41 Parnell Square, Mr. John Monks presiding. The convention, on the motion of the chairman, passed a resolution declining to approve of the course of which is being adopted by Fianna Fáil deputies, both with regard to the proposed plebiscite and legal action in the Free State High Courts, as being derogatory to our civic and national status, trifling, puerile, and unworthy of dignified statesmanship. It was further resolved to release all deputies from all understandings and sectional commitments, whatever. Mr. Monks, the chairman, was Mr. P. Belton's proposer at the recent election. So it's expected that if he does go into the Dáil, he will resign his seat. But there seems to be some support locally in his organisation for him to take his seat. This, by the way, was towards the end of July 1927. On the 26th of July, to be exact, where he took his seat. Mr. Patrick Belton, Fianna Fáil Deputy for County Dublin, in the course of a long letter to the Irish Times with reference to certain statements which had been published, says, "It is asserted that I differ with my party over the oath, but that I will not break the pledge I gave. Also, that I am dissatisfied with Mr. De Valera's present policy, and that I may take a new line within the next few weeks, probably resigning my seat and recontesting it. The pledge on which I will act is that I will not take an oath of allegiance to a foreign king. This so-called oath in the Free State Constitution is not an oath of allegiance, nor is it an oath of any kind at all. Mr. De Valera has assented to this interpretation. On Wednesday evening, a County Dublin constituency convention decided I should take my seat. I'm not going to resign. It also stated that I am dissatisfied with Mr. De Valera's policy. Of course I am. I cannot see any policy in the programme at all. Take, for instance, the law action, as we see in this case, the right to get into the Dáil and afterwards put out. As regards the referendum, it is like a practical joke on a decaying nation. Proposals of this kind could only be taken up with the British government by the President of the Executive Council, and the President declared on the 23rd of June that he would not take any action to amend the treaty or constitution in this regard. I was convinced, and have been hardening in that conviction since, that the only courses open to us as a party are 1, take our seats, 2, resign our seats, or 3, get the guns. The whole thing is so much Nero's fiddling that our supporters in County Dublin, at any rate, are disgusted with us. Fortunately, however, Mr. Cosgrave, by one of his new bills, has cleared the air with the whole, and our whole policy, he, be it wise or unwise, has been torpedoed. The whole position has been altered in the past week, and on Wednesday last, I handed my leader my views on the whole situation and asked him for advice. I have not got it, nor have I got any whip to attend a party meeting. I see by the press that a public meeting to protest against the penal legislation at which Mr. De Valera will speak will be held at Burgh Quay on Tuesday evening next. Who decided that our new policy is to take the form of spouting on Burgh Quay when the fair is over? On Tuesday next, the Dáil reassembles and deals at once with the new legislation. And what the Dáil will do is what will count. Street harangues will be of no avail. The opposition to the bills inside will be about 30 or 40, and Fianna Fáil has 44. Is it not the course of prudence, wisdom and patriotism to go into the Dáil and defeat these bills? In this crisis, no meeting of my party has been called. Why, I cannot say. And I must act on my own judgment. I will take my seat on Tuesday next, and I hope the other Fianna Fáil deputies will do the same. So by taking a seat in the Dáil, he actually lost the Fianna Fáil whip. The legislation he was referring to in some of those things, there was a public safety bill incorporating tough new measures, which was a partly reaction to the assassination of Kevin O'Higgins by IRA members. Anyway, he was National Executive of Fianna Fáil, expelled Belton and called on him to resign his seat. Eamon de Valera said, as for Mr. Belton, everybody who was not absolutely blind could see that Mr. Belton, since his election, has been manoeuvring for an opportunity to go in and take the oath. He will be alone, however. On the 11th of August, de Valera and all the 42 other Fianna Fáil TDs altered their policy and decided to take the oath, characterising it as merely an empty political formula. So in a way, by taking a seat that time, although he was expelled by the party, he kind of opened a debate within Fianna Fáil about taking their seats. And of course, a few weeks later, they decided to take their seats. Still, he wasn't accepted back into Fianna Fáil. Needless to say, from that moment on, there was a mutual and obvious enmity between Belton and de Valera. So there was a general election then in September 1927. And Belton was going to run as an independent candidate. For that September 1927 general election, Belton was nominated by John Monks. So obviously he had taken some of the Fianna Fáil people who supported him with him, or certainly had their support. So he had an organisation behind him. So he was running again, and in the County Dublin constituency. To the electors of County Dublin, scarcely 3 months ago, you elected me as one of your representatives to Undoyle. On that occasion, I sought your suffrage as a Fianna Fáil candidate. It is necessary now for me to explain why I'm not associated with the party. With that party. It is often whispered about that I left the party. A foul attempt was made in the press on the 26th of July last by the leader of Fianna Fáil to show that I broke a solemn undertaking. It is due to myself and to the constituency to brand this as a deliberate falsehood. My undertaking was that I would not swear allegiance to a foreign king, and I did not. I never agreed that the undertaking required by the Constitution was an oath of allegiance to a foreign king, and for that reason I continually advocated that the party should take their seats. I asked Mr. de Valera on the 9th of July to call a party meeting before the 16th of July to consider the party's attitude on the estimates and currency bill, but I got no reply. On the 20th of July, when the public safety bill was introduced, I wrote to him again and informed him that in my opinion a national crisis had come and that I should take my seat or resign it. To this I got no reply. I took my seat on the 26th of July, and had the other 43 Fianna Fáil deputies done likewise, the repressive legislation now so harshly condemned by them would never have been passed. To put it in a nutshell, I did my duty, but they shirked theirs. Mr. de Valera expelled me from the Fianna Fáil party, presumably because I did my duty. But he never informed me of charge or trial or gave me a chance to defend myself. I did in time what Fianna Fáil did too late. I took my seat on the 26th of July, at a time when effective work could be done. But Mr. de Valera's party did not take theirs until the 12th of August, when the safety bill was passed into law. If it is wrong to do right, I am guilty, but not otherwise. I am in no way prejudiced to the Fianna Fáil policy, but I totally disagree with its hesitancy and incompetent leadership. Had it possessed any intelligent foresight since the last general election, we would not now be burdened with another general election, fraught with terrible consequences to the country. Academic politics are its only concern. The party's economic policy has been shelved for the emptiest of formulas. To give one instance, Fianna Fáil was to resolutely stand for a state bank with control of note issue. And yet, on the 12th of August, this party allowed the currency bill to pass without even speaking or voting against it. I was the only deputy who opposed this measure. The Currency Act means a closer union of Ireland and Great Britain than has ever existed before. How a party can call itself Republican while it permits another country to control its currency is taxing the credulity of the people to breaking point. The silence of the Fianna Fáil deputies is as culpable as the action of the government party. They repudiated their own published programme. I stand and have stood loyally by the Fianna Fáil programme, but I advocate its application by evolutionary and not revolutionary action. The present parlous condition of the country demands the immediate cooperative effort. The present parlous condition of the country demands the immediate cooperative effort of all parties. Unemployment, hunger, emigration, low standards of living were never so rampant. These will not be solved by paper programmes and policies, but by peace, goodwill and constructive effort. We have had too much political formula in late years and too little national endeavour. It is time to drop the bitterness and go on with the work. P. Belton, ex-TD. So he spells out his disagreements there in his election material with Fianna Fáil. Now, in that September 1927 general election, Belton polled 3,922 votes in the 8-seat Dublin County. He was seventh after the first count. However, he was overtaken by Bat O'Connor and John Good, and was lost on the final count. After standing as an independent in 1932 again in Dublin North, he joined Cumann na Gael and was elected in Dublin North in the 1933 general election. He was expelled from Fine Gael in October 1934 for his support of its former president, Eoin O'Duffy. And in 1935, he joined with O'Duffy in the founding the National Corporate Party, the short-lived Blue Cert Party. He was very anti-communist and strenuously opposed the Spanish Civil War. He was a founding member and president of the Irish Christian Front, an anti-communist organization with a strong corporatist influence. And he persuaded, actually, the Catholic hierarchy to hold a special national church collection to raise 40,000 for General Franco. He stood as an independent in 1937 general election, wasn't elected, was readmitted to Fine Gael in 1938 and won a seat in the 1938 general election. He again left Fine Gael, this time in 1942, and stood as an independent in subsequent elections, but wasn't successful. He actually, just on a local history thing, he was a builder, and he built several hundred houses at Belton Park, which he renamed Collins Avenue. And I think he also built or named Griffith Avenue as well. Two people he was very familiar with. And also he was, you know, the Belton dynasty. He was kind of one of the founders of the Belton political dynasty. Richard, Jack, Paddy and Avril Doyle would be a few who all served in the Oireachtas. It's quite an interesting life and character. But that split in Fianna Fáil over the taking of the oath was what I found really interesting, and taking the seat, and yet Fianna Fáil followed very quickly afterwards taking their seats. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks to everybody who subscribed to the podcast. If you haven't done so, please do share episodes, etc., in social media. Thanks especially to those who've subscribed to the Patreon. It helps support the podcast and the website. It's patreon.com/electionlit. Thanks.